All right. Well, welcome back. John Baylor, I so enjoy that little moment in which you get to play that interlude that not everybody else necessarily hears the whole thing of, but it's such a lovely experience for me.
Thank you, George. Well, then I'm sure this is going to be a big surprise for you, George, this one today.
It will?
Yeah. I know not all the radio listeners can tell this, but I'm a very skinny man.
Really?
And there are certain, like, judgments that people make of other people. And people tend to look at a skinny man and assume that he doesn't know how to eat. And
Something wrong with that presumption?
George, it's absolutely false.
It sounds like an awful bias to me.
Well, in some ways, you know, not all prejudices are hurtful. In some ways, this has been an advantage to me because people see me and they think, I better make this guy some food in a hurry. So there's been many occasions I've got free meals just out of my physical appearance. But the truth is, George, I'm a very, very big eater and very, very proud to be a big eater.
Yeah.
And my skinniness has nothing to do with a little appetite.
Would you like a spoonful of something before you sing? Well, I think we could arrange that. Don't we have some sandwiches,
George,
back there?
Don't worry about it. I already, okay. When Society of Broken Souls was up here, I was checking out the fridge already.
Oh.
But in this day and age, of course, you know, it's like the whole world is just falling apart on us, and it's harder than ever to find a really big, calorie-rich meal. And that's what this tune is about here. How many times have I come home from the grocery store? Picked up my crackers, smashed them up and threw them on the floor. 'Cause I found out a little too late they were low in calories. It ain't easy being a man in a low calorie world. And kids these days, they really got it rough. 'Cause at those schools, they don't feed them near enough. Well, sure, there's lots of broccoli and stuff like that, but where is all the saturated fat? It ain't easy being a man in a low-calorie world. In a low-calorie world. I'm getting into politics. This is what I say. Down, down, down with the FDA. They recommend a 2,000 calorie diet, but I would wither away if I tried it. It ain't easy being a man in a low calorie world. I'm all alone. I've lost my every friend and confidant. My buddy left me for some health food restaurant. He said I should watch my calories. They're the reason why I eat. It ain't easy being a man
a low-calorie world. In a low-calorie world. In a low-calorie world.
I kept wanting to do the woman's version of that song.
Maybe there was such a woman out there. I never did manage to find one.
I thought there could be. Anyway, that's a beautiful song. I think it'll probably be chronicled for the ages.
Thank you, George.
And now we have a special treat with us. We have a gentleman by the name of Jim Yocum, and Jim is an old bandmate of mine, and he's extraordinarily talented on a variety of different instruments. I wondered if he could come up right now and give us a song, Jim. You have it's not really a song, it's a kind of a poetry piece, right?
It's prose, George.
Oh, prose. And what inspired you to write this, Jim?
Well, George, anyone who has a dog can tell you that their dog is having more fun than they are. And so I thought, yeah, well, what if this is deliberate? And it made me think about...
Deliberate, yeah, right.
And it's because our life is short, we just get one, and so why not make it as intense and as wonderful as it can be by design?
Wow.
So this song is, this poem, is that narrative. And
okay.
It's done sort of in a noir way.
Okay, well, have at it.
I woke up around midnight. I was alone in a small studio that I'd rented the week before, ostensibly to write, but I spent most of my time drinking red wine and thinking about nothing in particular. I decided to go for a walk to clear my head. I found myself down at the St. Joe River looking for a place where I could stay dry and watch the snow fall. I finally settled down on a bench under a canvas shelter outside the Century Center. That's when I saw him. He was sitting about 10 feet away, looking out toward the water. "Nice night," he said. "Yeah," I said, "it is." He looked like he was mostly German Shepherd and maybe a little black lab. And he seemed to me like a dog that wanted to get something off his chest. "This is where I come to think," he said. "And anyway, I'm sort of on the street, I guess you'd say. Up until tonight, I was staying with an older woman. I met her down at the shelter, the humane shelter. I don't live there. I just stay there sometimes between gigs. She said she was a volunteer dog walker, and we just kind of hit it off. We'd go on long walks along the river, maybe hit a couple parks. And after a while, she stopped walking the other dogs. Next thing you know, I'm living at her place on Jefferson Street." She had a day job, and when she was at work, I'd read. I worked my way through Dostoevsky and Pushkin, and then one day I found a book by Jack London. I really dug the fact that Call of the Wild had an animal protagonist. You don't see a lot of that. Anyway, I was midway through the last chapter, you know, where Buck begins to have mystical experiences in the forest. And suddenly it came to me. I wanted off the leash. From then on, everything was different. I was becoming more alive every day, but Carol, continued to fill every waking moment with endless chatter about hobbies, vacations, movies. It was like she wanted to drown out the voices that were calling her away from her secondhand life. At first, I couldn't explain it. Then it came to me. She was not living in dog years. So what is it? He said, something like 7 to 1. Which means if you're a dog, you have to pack 7 dog years into every calendar year because you don't have all that long. And that awareness of mortality electrifies your soul. It makes you want to stick your head out the car window with your nostrils flared and your tongue blowing backwards. See, to live in dog years, you have to give up the illusion of security, deny your own sanity, and give yourself over to something wilder. You have to grab life by the neck and shake it until you're dizzy. There's no time to waste on the past or the future. Life is now. This is real, man. Actual reality. And then he jumped up and tore off after a cat, disappearing around a bend in the sidewalk. He came back a few minutes later. He was panting and doing that kind of silent laugh that dogs do. He sat down and looked at the river for a while, and then went on with his story. "Yeah, well, once I got the idea of dog years," he said, "I knew I had to find a way to express myself. So I started to work on my howling. You see, howling is not about musicality or even the sound itself. A real howl is an act of immediate creation, a thing that is born and dies right in front of you. It's an expression of being truly alive. It surges up through the pads of your paws and jets out of you like blood, noble and sorrowful and very, very sincere. It's a conversation between the ancient spirit of the earth and the great abyss. And it's using your living flesh as a conduit. Howling helps you defeat your intellect. It's the voice of the shadow, of mortality. And if you can howl, you can stay in command long after your muzzle has gone gray, simply by throwing back your head and raising your voice until it becomes a rusty knife blade ripping right through the skin of the night sky. He scratched his side with his hind leg for a while, then continued. So anyway, a few days ago I was at the apartment working on my howling and Carol came home early and walked in on me. It was a bad scene, man. I couldn't make her understand. She was crying and yelling. Well, eventually she calmed down, but we were both walking on eggs after that. And then last night, she brought home one of those round dog beds for me. She said she didn't feel comfortable with me sleeping on the foot of the bed anymore. Well, that was the last straw. I started walking, and I haven't gone back. Quiet after that. The snow was coming down hard now, obliterating the lines of the man-made world and revealing something wilder and more ancient. We sat together in silence for a while, and then I wished him luck and walked off back towards my studio, thinking hard about how to live in dog years.
Jim Yocum. Amazing. Amazing. What a beautiful piece, man. If that doesn't go viral, man, that is absolutely incredible. You know, I was thinking, man, you could come back here and read in that voice anytime you want. You know, that is such a beautiful rendering. And
well, that'd be my pleasure, George. I like to do that sneaky thing with the music and
Yeah, it's such a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
So come back, come back. Be part of the show. Give Jim Yocum a lovely hand. Well, up next, we have a return of the Society of Broken Souls, and they'll be back and sharing a couple songs with us. I want to thank Jim Yocum, and I also want to thank John Baylor for his fine song about low-calorie men, all right, or something like that. And we'll see you on the other side of the bend.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, the Bruce G. and Mary A. Robert Family Foundation, Nancy and Dan Schmelter, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.